Today is Wednesday, May 25th, and I'm interviewing Dana Tiger for the Oklahoma Native Artists Project, sponsored by the Oral Histories Program at Oklahoma State University. Dana, you're an artist who comes from a family of artists. Your paintings often focus on women and their cultural, spiritual journey. But equally important, you're someone whose desire to help others through your art and cultural outreach has been an important part of your career, as it has been for your love of art. Where were you born and where did you grow up?
I was born in Muskogee, 1961, and I grew up in Muskogee. And when my dad saw me, he said, "That looks like Dana." So that's what they named me, Dana.
So he kind of came up with your name on the spur of the moment.
Very creative man.
He was an artist, of course, Jerome Tiger, and your mom often helped him with the business side of art. What are your earliest memories of being around art?
Well, let's see. I know that Daddy would paint. I just remember we had a house on Baltimore Street in town. It's by where the old General Hospital was, and we the big old building right across the street. And but it wasn't the hospital when we were living it there. But it's a small house, two bedrooms, and Daddy would be in there painting in the back bedroom. And I'd crawl all over him. I wouldn't have no respect, nothing was sacred to me back then. So I'd splosh playing all around sometimes, and he'd have to fix him, you know, whatever I do. He of course, could make it just like it was part of the painting. But I always said if I could get to where I could paint with kids crawling on me, then I'd made it as an artist.
A lot of women artists do end up doing just that. What are your earliest memories of doing art yourself?
Well, I would draw on things that I wasn't supposed to. I remember getting in trouble at school for things like that, and I heard that Daddy did too, you know. He just drew on everything. And I grew up, our whole lives were art, you know. That was the family business. And you know, from when Daddy was painting, and they were going to, you know, art shows all over the place, and people were just, our house was just always filled with people, you know. It was just like a party all the time or something. And I always drew when I felt like it, but, you know, I didn't really do it consistently until after Daddy was, you know, gone. Our uncle, his older brother, Johnny, we call him Uncle Tony, and then we shortened it just to Uncle after, you know, a time. He stepped in and had us do art as children, and after Daddy was gone, and he'd have the whole neighborhood doing artwork. Indian or not Indian, he had everybody in there doing artwork, and we'd win wherever we went, especially if he was the judge. We'd win first, second, third, all his little students.
That's great.
But he did. He cared enough to put paint supplies, art supplies in our hands. And we had to do it, you know, or we couldn't go play, you know.
So was it like every weekend for a couple of hours, or was it?
No, just when there was some show that came up, you know. So we were very active children. You know, I really didn't devote myself to art, you know. When I was a kid, I was just a wild, very wild child. You can ask anybody.
What are some of the other things you like to do besides art?
Be scheming. I would like to do things that were mischievous. And one time I remember Daddy was in the living room at the old house, and I had decided I was going to go to swim. So I put my bathing suit in my little outfit, my pants, and I said, "Daddy, I want some money. I'm going to go get some ice cream." So I headed off in the opposite direction of the ice cream place, snuck around the main street, down the block, went to the pool, which was at the other end of our block, Spalding Park, went in there, swam for 2-3 hours, and then I thought, well, they might be getting a little a little suspicious by now, so I'll just slide one more time down the slide and then I'll go on home. And so I did. And then when I was coming across the park, all the cops around in the neighborhood, I thought, what's going on? And then the next thing I remember being like over Daddy's lap, him saying, this is going to hurt me worse than it's going to hurt you. And I remember thinking, no, I bet it won't. And then I was thinking, what can I say to divert his attention? I was still trying to think. But then it kind of like faded to black.
Oh my goodness. So you were only, what, five?
Four or five.
4 or 5 when you did that. Yeah. That's a lot of planning.
I was very in.
And most kids would not be that brave.
Well, I was, I'd think of a dream and I'd go for it, you know?
Wow.
That's how I've always been.
That's cool. And so when you did occasionally get in trouble drawing in school,
occasionally, I was always in trouble.
It was because you were sort of supposed to be doing your homework and you were doing some drawing.
Well, actually, I graffiti the walls and stuff. And so it wouldn't just be like on my paper or anything.
I see.
So that's probably, you know, I probably should have gotten in trouble. And when my grandma had to come to the school and says, if you will spank her one more time, it's going to, you know, she laid the law down to them. Because they used to paddle back then, you know.
Yes.
I was always getting paddlings. And grandma, she's a rebel. You know, she would go down there and speak up, you know. And mom, they're always at the school, you know.
So it was your mom's mom?
My dad's mom.
Oh, it was your dad's mom.
I remember her going down there, and I remember mom going down there, and mom would have to. I remember her telling them, you'll be sorry someday. This girl's going to be famous or, you know, blah, 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 you know, because they would always be so on to me.
They didn't know how to deal with, yeah.
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 Bless
your heart. This girl's going to be pregnant before she's 13.
Well, it just made you stronger, I guess.
I know, it is crazy.
Were there any art classes at all that were offered in elementary or
No, I remember no art classes. I remember, you know, I could always draw, though. You know, I always could do whatever I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And even in a, you know, but there was no art classes that I ever remember.
So was your feedback when you were younger mainly from your uncle then?
Yeah.
And would he give you very specific feedback or just?
He would just hand us, you know, he would critique what we were doing and tell us, you know, stories about being Indian, being Creek, and we'd do, you know, what he would tell us, you know, and kind of try to copy his style and Daddy's style, because, you know, Daddy's art was everywhere around us because Mom had created the Jerome Tiger Art Company. And so, you know, his art was everywhere. Right. We grew up with that all around us, so that was what we would do, you know.
Now, how about high school? Was there any art instruction at the high school level?
No, I never had any art instruction. We just would always enter the shows, you know, and we'd always do real well, you know, me, Lisa, and Chris. And, you know, each one of us had our own style, you know, way of doing things. But really,
how would you describe yours when you were that age?
I say we had our own style. You know, looking back, it was all kind of the same style, actually, back then, because we were all kind of just copying what we saw as uncle and daddy's and people's art that we had seen, you know, in our little child way. But then eventually we all
right.
came up with our own style, but
right.
yeah, we just went with what we were told, you know, and what uncle would talk about to us. You know.
That inspired some of your subject matter.
Yeah, you know, ribbon dancers and stomp dancing and just little girls with chickens in the yard, you know. We'd see that at the camp house, you know. And Lisa's art was especially nice and cute. And Chris's, you know, I just love their work. I'd love to see it when people bring it to me. Sometimes they give it back to me and it's just cute. Just makes you happy to look at it.
When you went to Bacone, were you planning on majoring in, what was your major?
I was I was initially interested in political, you know, politics and such, you know. And so I went to OSU to, in political science was going to be my direction. But, art was just something that I could do, but never really did it hardly once I grew up.
Did you? So you didn't do any at Oklahoma State University?
No. I don't think I picked up one pencil, one paintbrush the whole time I was there. I arm wrestled a bit. But my story is just pretty wild story, you know, from where I was as a child to when I decided consciously in one day. I remember the day that I decided to be an artist, to try to be an artist.
When was that?
It was in this house, and I was downstairs in what is now Mom's history room that used to be my bedroom. It had no windows in it, and I was in there in the dark, and I was like in there for a few days, and I had some, you know, things happen in my life that hurt me and were not good for me. And so I was in there and I was thinking, I've got to change my life. I just can't stand the way I'm feeling, you know. I just can't live like this anymore. And then it came to me that I had art flowing in my blood, you know. And so I made a promise to myself that I would try for a year to paint. Well, I wouldn't try, but I would paint every day for a year, whether it be 5 minutes or an hour or 5 hours. Every day I would sit down and do art, see where that led me. So I never stopped from that time, and that was like it was in 1985.
Thank you for sharing that. So after Oklahoma State University, you just sort of lost interest in school at that point, or you switched to back home?
I had I was, you know, in at OSU and loved it, and I had a dear person in my life that was killed in an accident, and that was the one I was gonna marry if I married anybody, because I always grew up saying I'm never getting married, and man it, you know, I didn't want to ever be married or have kids, and so that was the plan, and I brag about it all the time, but he had asked me to marry him, you know, several times, and we were high school sweethearts and such. And he got killed. He got decapitated in a boating boat through the windshield of his car. And you know, that just really I had to come home after that, you know. And so I just came back, and then that was 84, and then I took some classes at Macomb after that, because I was trying to just sort things out,
right.
You know. It was just
right.
Very upheaval.
Yes. It creates very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So you had already sold some pieces, probably even in the children's shows. You had sold your art.
Heck yeah, we were the little business women as our manager, because Uncle knew everybody in the entire world. You can't go to Timbuktu where Uncle hasn't got somebody in his address book. Uncle, I've run out of gas in Timbuktu. Oh, call so-and-so, you know. So, we sold art for $1, $2, $3, $5, $10, you know, when we were little, and we'd get to go get stuff, hot dogs or whatever with it, you know. And so money came easy as a kid, you know, to us. We weren't hurting for anything. We had everything. We, you know, we'd whip out art, and Uncle would take it and sell it to all his people, and it was a grand way of life.
And so you didn't really, once you made that decision, I'm going to paint every day for at least 5 minutes, if not longer, you didn't really have to work any other jobs. You sort of were able to earn your living painting.
That was an amazing thing, you know, because I have really never to speak of really worked at anything other than art. You know, I was going to school for that time, and then I realized that I just had to go home and see what I was going to do with my life for real. And so I went back home, and I started doing my artwork, and then I had the opportunity to go to with Unity, United National Indian Tribal Youth, to Washington, D.C. and have a show, Aretha Gumbaro, and
I met Aretha. She's
She was involved in helping us, you know, get there. And a long time ago, saw Ray Tracy. You know, he had been in movies, and all of us were up there. And I sold some art. I couldn't believe it. You know, I hadn't sold art. You know, even though I sold as a child, this was amazing to me. You know, that I would draw and people would, you know, come and buy it. You know, it was like a new day for me, because my life, people will tell you, my sister especially tell you, that I'll just get real crazy, wild, excited about things like they're new happening, even though they might have happened 20,000 times before. It's like a whole new day experience. Brand new thing for me, you know. So I was thrilled, and I came back, and I was just overjoyed that I could sell. Gosh, I sold, you know, some miniatures.
What did you price them at?
50, 75, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And I had several, you know, so I sold them. That was wonderful.
That's wonderful. Did you have a chance to work with Nettie Wheeler, who had sold your dad's work, of course, when you started out, or had she already retired?
I just remember her as a child, you know, that she, I was always watching her, thinking, wondering about her, because she just, she always looked elderly to me, you know. She always was elderly, but Daddy would go there, and Uncle, you know, after that would go there, and we'd be riding along, hanging out in the driveway or whatever. We'd go in there and poke around in her shop, you know, just with millions of billions of things in there. Very interesting for a small child, but I don't know. I never really just talked to her or anything. I would just observe, probably.
And so when you began painting here at home, was your mom, I know she was supportive, but sometimes it can be kind of a scary thing, you know, being back at your folks' home after you've gone to college. And you, how did that work out? Was she also sort of was the business sense kicking in, and she was thinking, you know, maybe you could try this show, or was that mainly coming from your uncle and from you?
Well, actually, I guess, you know, I would tap into uncle's, where he would go, you know, at first. And mom was busy running the business down in town at Tiger Art Gallery. We had started that.
Oh, you had started that in 85, that's right.
And so, you know, she was busy coming up with new ideas, you know, new ideas that no one had done before in Indian art world, which she has done, you know, more than once. And it's really been beneficial, profitable for the family. And so I was just kind of like having to garner the enthusiasm and dig up, you know, and find the places to go. You know, Uncle did have it, you know, connections, but then he really didn't travel very much from that point on. You know, he traveled before, mm-hmm. all over and sold all over, but really I just embarked out on my own and made sure that I found out shows, and I would go to the, you know, Colorado Indian Market, and that was a big deal, and I went for years.
What,
you know,
was that like the first time you went?
Oh, just overwhelming.
And did you go with Lisa, or did you go
by
yourself?
It was with uncles that I went. Okay. Yeah, those first few shows, you know, I remember, maybe the first couple of years or something, I went with uncle, and they were a time, let me tell you, a time to remember. I mean, gosh, all those artists, you know, a lot of them, most of them are still doing artwork, you know, all over the country. We'd meet there, and we just had the best time, and, you know, I was young and not, you know, I was unattached and everything, and I just had a blast. And I didn't drink or anything either, you know. I had given up alcohol the same time as I made the promise that I was going to paint. That was another thing. I was going to give up alcohol no matter what. And so, you know, I had to do, you know, other things to make sure that happened, but I was just a free spirit, sober, happy artist woman up there, you know, just living it up with all the artists, you know, just having a great time and selling my work, you know, starting out. And then over the years, I built, you know, relationship with people, and they kept coming back and buying more and more, you know, and that sustained me, you know. And so being here at the house with Mom and Lisa was here, we were all here, and because we're just always together. And I was thinking, I can't take it anymore. These people are, these other two women are way too bossy. You know, we're all headstrong, you know, us tiger women. And so I had to go venture out and find my own spot. And I did that through my sales of my art that I had done. You know, I had enough money to get my own place. And so, you know, I look back at that now and I know that that really helped save me, because my brother Chris, you know, he was just an incredible person, and he was a creative, gifted, lovely, gorgeous human being that so many people just love. And we lost him. He was murdered in 1990. And I think that's the only way, I don't know, going over there, live in that house by myself prepared me for dealing with that, you know, because I had my mind on my art and taking care of myself and all that. You know, I had gained some empowerment for myself, you know, because there's nothing worse that has ever happened to me than losing my brother, you know. So that was, I look at that time and, you know, think, you know, it happened, you know, I guess, in the best way it could have happened, you know, for me to not be here, because it was just torture, you know, it was torture to lose Chris. And it's just, you know, strange really how things, you know, in a life, you know, all the tragedy that can happen, but then you look and you see how you can make sense of it, you know, in a way, because I told you I never wanted children, and Chris had wanted a big family. And so I truly had my first child really in honor of Chris, you know, because my mom had said Lisa had developed HIV and been, you know, exposed to that and had HIV, and we thought, you know, she couldn't have kids, and Chris was gone, and so mom told me, you know, you gotta have a child. And I said, well, are you crazy? And then it took me a whole nother year of thought and study before I, you know, agreed that I would try to do that, that I would do. And I, you know, at that time I had met Donnie a year before.
And how did you meet Donnie?
Oh, Lord. I prayed for that man to come along. Because I was here at this house visiting. Mom and Lisa were here. And Lisa, I came home. You know, I lived over there and traveled all around, you know, the country doing art shows. But I'd come over here and visit all the time. So I came here one night and Lisa said, you're lonesome. I said, I am not. And she said, I can tell. You're lonesome. I said, are you insane? And so I went back home that night and thought, maybe I am a little lonesome. So I made a list and I prayed for somebody good looking, somebody who's had read a book or two, somebody who had their own thing going on so they wouldn't smother me. I don't know if I had said Rock Mason exactly, but but I love rock work, and here, lo and behold, the next day at the neighbor's house when I went to eat supper over there, as I did every day because I don't cook, there he was in the living room. Rock Mason, love my work, good looking, smart aleck. I didn't pray for that, but I got that too. And so there he was, and we traded artwork for rock work, and he was awesome rock work.
Now, the house, I didn't manage to ask this yet, but it was in Tahlequah, mm-hmm. Or was it in Tulsa?
It's in Tahlequah.
In Tahlequah, okay.
Out in the woods, where I had moved to live my life single and alone. That was the plan. So, but there I met Donnie at the neighbor's house, and it was so funny. When the kids were eventually born later, I would always crack a joke and just say, yeah, I found Donnie drunk in a ditch and I dug him out, pulled him out. And I don't know what, I was just making a joke to somebody because, you know, people ask that. And one time some really nice collectors were at my house and they said, well, how'd you meet Donnie? Leeson, or my little fella who was just like 3 or 4 years old, she found him drunk in a ditch.
Oh,
I know, but I had said that because, you know, they're just, he thought
that. You were just repeating. competing with
it. Oh my gosh, Lisa, that was just a joke.
That is so funny.
Yeah, I know. Life is hilarious. Kids, and the reason I thought that I would go ahead and have kids, because they are hilarious. That's the reason I thought, well, okay, I'll give this a shot. Oh, and then also that I said, I'll do it if everybody will help me. And they lied and said they would. So, no, but yeah, so that's what Mom, I said, yeah, y'all help me. Yeah, get a lot of help.
Artists, a lot of times, will experiment, you know, with several different styles before they settle on something, and they'll borrow from what they admire, of course. But I think style-wise, like, once you start it, although your work shows, you know, some impact from your father's work, you put your stamp on it pretty early in your career, I think. And I'm wondering how you knew when you had developed a style that was going to work for you.
Well, I know that I started that drawing as a grown-up person in 85, 84, and I was led to do the art the way I do it now. I had to do it that way. I mean, it wasn't a conscious decision for me to paint women in all the different ways I do, but it was a need. I had to lay out a direction, you know, for myself. It's just like, you know, my life was so in disarray and painful that, you know, it was something that just came out to show me the way, and it did. And, you know, I was just there to pick up the paintbrush and do it. And, you know, I look back and I think, how the heck did I do all those paintings? I have done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of paintings. Daddy did hundreds and thousands of artworks. And he was only alive for 26 years. But, yeah, I look back and I'm thankful. Because when I first was picking up those paintbrushes in that time that I made that promise to myself, I was so scared. I had really not... I guess I had talent somewhere inside, but it really didn't show up too well. I couldn't paint faces, you know. You have to sit there and do it, you know, to get it done. And I was always just on the go, you know, just from one thing to the next, you know, just to, you know, living life that way. And so, you know, to be an artist, you have to calm down as best you can. And you know, artists are wild people a lot of times, or the ones I've known are. And knowing myself, I do know that I'm a wild person. And so, you know, looking back, I think, wow, that's amazing that I could do all that, you know, get it done and have all those different things to say, because that's how I said them. Because I really couldn't, you know, to voice what you believe about the world and know about women, you know, being a woman and seeing that the world says women are a certain way, which I thought, well, they are not, you know. What's up with that? You know, I'm not that way. But then you start internalizing what other people put on you, you know. They say all these negative things about you, and you start feeling bad about yourself. So, you know, I had that within myself. And so I painted what I knew to be the real deal without even knowing that's what I was doing, really. But looking back, I see powerful women, that's what they were and are. I saw my mother powerful all her life, you know. I saw Indian women, you know. I saw women doing all kinds of amazing things, you know. And so I really didn't even think about it at the time. I just painted it, you know. I wasn't even thinking, aha, I will paint this because it's true. I just did it because it came to me to do that.
Your tribal affiliations are Creek, Seminole, and Cherokee. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the Cherokee on your mom's side?
Yeah, she's a Cherokee Nation tribal member.
And the Creek sort of heritage been more dominant in your paintings, or do you think they've sort of all expressed?
I would say the Creek was more dominant because, you know, I was close to my grandparents and I grew up knowing my dad through his artwork, you know, and he always was just Creek through and through, even though he could paint anything, and he had such great vision, could make anything be meaningful, truly. But I always knew the creep part because, now, and since I have been an artist as an adult, I have painted Cherokee because, you know, we live over here in Cherokee Nation, and I really love and respect and admire and appreciate all that the Cherokee Nation does, you know. So my kids go to that school run by the Cherokee Nation, so I'm even learning the Cherokee language because my kids would enter those challenge bowls, and I love the language. So I do everything I can to learn that and the Creek language, of course, you know, because my grandma's, she's a fluent first language speaker of Creek, you know. And my uncle is a fluent speaker of Creek. That big old man is just, he can speak it, you know, and that's just awesome, you know, so.
Now, I'm not sure I remember this exactly, and I'll get a chance, hopefully, to ask your Uncle Johnny Tiger about this, but because they were sort of raised church way, I remember him saying we had to kind of sneak off to go to stomp dances, mm-hmm. but you didn't have to do that by the time you were here.
Mm-hmm. No, I got my first set of shells just not too long ago, last year, and I haven't used them yet. But I truly am looking forward to the time, the day, which I think might be near, that I put those shells on and dance. There's just, you know, it's our way. It's our way from the beginning. And there's healing and power in that way. And so I know it's an important part of my life, even though I'm not out there. I have a grounds that I belong to, but you know where my grandpa was to be Miko, but you know he went the Christian way. But you know just before he died, you know he had gone out to the grounds. You know
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so you know that's just beautiful, meaningful to me. And so yeah, I think about that. I paint that. You know, and I respect it, and I am helped by it, you know, so, but I have Parkinson's. I was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 1999, so it's hard for me to even walk, but, and it's getting harder to paint, but I think I'm going to be able to dance. I think I am, and I think it'll help me.
I bet. What was one of the first awards you got that was especially meaningful to you?
Well, I've gotten a lot of awards in my life.
Not including your children's art awards, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that's the best.
When my kids were young.
Yeah. Oh, my then,
and,
yeah.
And your kids, too.
Yeah, I was going to say my kids winning awards is the best thing.
Yes.
But,
yes.
You know, being honored by your tribe and your Indian community. And I've just recently was honored by, I've won a lot of different art awards in my life. And, you know, they're all really nice to win. But, you know, there's a lot of great artists out there. And if you win, that's cool. But, you know, the real deal was when my Indian community recognized me. And I've just recently won the Community Spirit Award from First Peoples Fund in Rapid City. They came down and honored me, and everybody I ever loved was, well, not everybody, but, you know, we were at Bacon. We had it in a big room there, and that was the best day of my life, it seemed like, you know. Just my family was there, my kids were there, my daughter got up and sang, my husband was actually there, I saw him, and he and my son, they're hermits, and they never go anywhere, but they were there. It's a wonder Donnie showed up at the wedding. But, yeah, everybody came, and we just had a beautiful day. See, because getting awards for me is kind of, in the past, it's I have this Parkinson's deal. It affects everything about me. It's lack of dopamine. And I've just realized here recently from studying that that's been some one of my, say, problems in the past, because I've always gotten up in the middle of the night and not been able to sleep. And so reading and all, I find out that this lack of dopamine, it'll do all kinds of bad things to you, because it's your feel-good chemical.
Right.
And it's your movement chemical. And I don't know how much I have, but very little, you know, because when you are diagnosed with Parkinson's, you've already lost, like, the majority of it. So that explains to me my feelings and my very scary feelings, even back when I was, you know, quitting drinking and starting to paint, you know, I was possibly my dopamine was, you know, even going at that point, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm sure it was. So, it's comforting, you know, in a way to know that that's why certain things were in the past. But I've always been real strong-willed, determined, you know, and so I just go for things. You know, I get something in my mind, and my mind won't remember a lot of things due to possibly this dopamine deficiency. But I can really wrap myself around what I'm doing and really, you know, zero in, and that's the best way I can do. And so I get a whole lot of things done, and I'm real thankful, you know, real thankful for that. But I'm 49 years old, have done a whole lot, but have so much more to do. But being honored by and the Creek Nation named me Artist of the Year before that.
Okay.
So that those two were.
And you were designated the youngest. You were the youngest master artist to be so named by.
Yeah, but that was back in the day. Gosh, I'm 49 now, and I still think of myself as young because I'm so crazy. My daughter has to say, "Mom, would you please come?" You know, I can embarrass my. I guess a lot of parents can embarrass their kids, but I'm just pretty nutty, you know, and I have a good time. And you know, you gotta have a good attitude to get, you know, with this disease I have, this illness. You know, you gotta just try to think positive. I'm really fond of an organization called White Bison. It's had a lot of meaning for me in my life, and I painted a painting to honor them, and I continue to think about them in my art and life. And they were the ones who told me, you know, you think about, you bring about, you know, mm-hmm. what's in your mind is so powerful. Mm-hmm. You can bring things to you in a good way or not a good way. So that is so true. It's happened so many times. I mean, look, I prayed for a husband. Well, I didn't pray for a husband, I prayed for Donnie. I prayed for somebody to come along, and then I thought, after being with him for about 6 months, I thought, I'll just ask him to marry me, because this guy has got it all, you know? And so I did. I asked him.
And you asked him.
I sure did. I said, "Donnie, will you marry me?" He said, "I guess so, if you don't invite too many people to the wedding." So we lied and said, okay. I said, okay. And then Mom invited like half the world, and they all came. And so here we are, 20-something years later. Awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, I was thinking that really, since your diagnosis, you've been busier really than ever.
I am with a lot of
both the artwork and the community work, which I want to get to in a minute. But in terms of what your responsibilities are, or if you have any at the Tiger Art Gallery now, do you help with that at all, or is that?
Lord have mercy, I am.
You are the Tiger Art Gallery.
Yeah, you know, because after Chris's death, you know, we just took a, you know, it was the worst thing, you know, that happened to any of us, and so we lost it, you know, it just kind of went on in dormancy for a time.
What years would these be?
He was killed in 90.
90.
And so, I don't know, it was just kind of, you know, I had Christy in 92, and then Lisa in 95, and then it was just recently in the past several years that I thought, you know, I've got to, it would be up to me or nobody to open that Tiger Gallery up. And I thought about it, you know, and I had to really think about it. And, you know, I had to do it, you know. And my family were there every day together, you know, like we used to be with Chris and everybody. And I just have a good life, you know. It is. It's, what better thing to do than to think about where you came from and, you know, have that to talk about to people and share with people and to create, you know, create every day and share that with people, you know, and to help the kids say, now, you know, Creek language is important. The Cherokee language is important. You're going to, I'll be like Uncle. I say, you're going to do it or you're not going to get to do this, this, and this. I mean, I crack the whip and thank God Donnie's there to back me up because they don't like to listen to me hardly at all.
So are they, I know both of them, Christy and Leeson, have won awards for their work, and I've seen Leeson's sculpture in particular, but are they producing a little bit for the gallery?
Yeah, from time they do. To time? Yeah, they do. They do art every day. I mean, not because of, like, you know, when I was a kid, I was kind of just made to do it. You know, Uncle would say, you know, you're going to do this. That's kind of like what I do to them. But they're just natural artists. They're like Daddy, you know. Daddy was just drawn from the time he was able to hold a pencil. And both of them were like that. Because Christy was a little wild baby girl herself. Because I prayed for, you know, I wanted a strong, independent, you know, beautiful little happy baby, and I got just that. And she's a little wild booger, and the only thing that would settle her down was when I hand her art supplies or The Nightmare Before Christmas. Either that movie or the art supplies was the only thing that would make Christy behave. And then Leeson, I handed him Play-Doh before he could, you know, talk, and he was making sculptures. I mean, he handed me one time. I about wrecked the car because he handed it to me over the back seat, and it was a rose with petals going around with petal delicately turned out. He couldn't even talk. He was just a baby. And he was, that boy's got an imagination on him. I mean, he's even done a rhinoceros on a toilet. What the heck? He's so hilarious.
Now, does Donnie help with the gallery a bit too?
Yes. Oh yeah, we're down there. I mean, that's all we do, you know, that's our business. But you know, with the Parkinson's, and at times, you know, times are rough, or they can get rough, you know, because, you know, being an artist solely, because that's all we've done, you know. Donnie came into the partnership with me, the marriage, the you know, friendship, everything, and just went my way, you know, the art way. He's creative too. He can, you know, he can make furniture, and he mats and frames all the pictures.
I see.
And so, you know, we love being artists and doing art. But, and we have so much more to do, you know. I mean, yeah. Even if I can't, if it gets to be where I can't paint someday, I'm having so much fun watching my kids be great, you know. And I'm having so much fun bringing culture and other people's abilities to young people, that, you know, connecting that up. For instance, you know, we're going to have our 10th annual camp out, a legacy art cultural camp out this next weekend, Memorial Day weekend. I'm just happier than ever, you know, happier
than
ever.
Can you talk a bit about the Legacy Foundation, cultural foundation, yeah, and how that got started, etc.?
That came, like, it was like a dream to me, you know, to be able to carry on and I knew that saved my life, you know, when I was able to do art and protect myself and finance my whatever and do that from within, you know, when I could paint and sustain my life, you know, I knew that's what saved me, you know. And where did that come from? My dad. You know, my dad's blood, my dad's love of being Indian, being able to paint what really being an Indian person was, you know, from the heart. And so in that room, when I was down there in that room by myself, I believe he spoke to me, you know. He came in there and said, do what you know, do what you do, go back to where you came from. And it was like, I can do that, I think I can do that, you know. And so I just, but what you have to do, you know, you have to do it. Yeah, and with this legacy organization that I've created in honor of Chris and Daddy who are gone, you know, but they left behind that legacy for us to see the beauty that was in their mind that they saw of the world and how they saw of being Indian and what it meant through their eyes. Well, you gotta, if it's not in front of you or around you, then you're not gonna know about it or utilize it. So I bring in elders and that know the language. I bring in people who've studied, you know, and who treasures of the tribe, you know, who know things, know how to make the old way certain things. And I bring them in and round up youth, you know, to see that. And that, that's our legacy. We're making our legacies. So important, you know. We came from such beauty, such strength, such wisdom. You gotta remember that, you know, because that's who we are. We're not just all that ourselves. We are what we came from.
Right.
So that's why I created that. And I'm just so thrilled and happy. And we've got a building over there at Park Hill that it's just a beautiful on 20 acres. And, you know, it's bought and paid for.
It's all bought and paid for now. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I remember when you were working towards mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm living in so poverty, but I built my dream.
And that's where, will the camp out be there? Mm-hmm. Or, yes. Okay, gotcha. That's so cool. Mm-hmm. Now I have to bring up this black hat that you, it's kind of your signature. Yeah. I don't know if you remember.
What?
Because I was always, you know, you're just a very striking woman too. And the first time I saw you, you were at a show and you were wearing, you know, this black hat. And I just thought it was so cool because I could just kind of flashed. I knew you were Creek and Seminole, and I could just kind of flashed on men and how they wear those black stomp dance hats. Only you were a woman and you were this, you know, young woman. But I just wondered if that hat had any special significance to you, or it's just a hat that you liked and you just thought, well, this will look cool for shows.
Well, I don't know. I just, I'm all up.
It suits you.
People call me a manly woman before because I've always been so strong. I mean, when I was a child, the doctor said he had never seen a child in his life that was as strong physically as I was. And he had given birth, he had birthed hundreds and hundreds of babies, Dr. Stratton. He was like 100 years old when I was born, so I was the strongest child, and I was probably one of the strongest women, you know, physically. I could beat like the whole football team in arm wrestling, and I loved doing it. So, you know, I just think there are no limits. Gosh, I mean, you know, if a woman is able to let her do what she wants to do. Don't be trying to direct a woman to tell her that she can't do this or she can't do that, because we know what we can do and what we want to do. So that's my theme song there. So I didn't even think about the black hat. I just thought, well, this is a good thing, man. I'll wear this hat because it looks cool and it's awesome. And, yeah.
It is awesome. Talked about the fact that, you know, Indian women are a major theme of your work, and you show their strength and resilience not by putting them in domestic situations necessarily, but in all kinds of other ways. And I also think there's a lot of sensuality to your work, and it may be coming from a combination of the way the women look, but also the colors and the backgrounds you choose. Has anybody else ever commented on that?
Yeah, they've said that they love my work because of the way I can show strong women and then the softness and the, you know, both. You know, I guess they're, you know, meaning this, maybe the sensuality and all. Because, you know, the way I saw it is that, you know, women were judged to be this, you know, and people would try to put them in this little box package of this is what women are. You know, I just felt, you know, I just painted women the way, you know, it would just flow out, you know. Even if I was painting, like, for instance, this one painting called Women Drum. I know it's like, they say, you know, taboo or whatever that women don't drum and all, but these women were drumming. They did drum, and their names were the Man Killers. Wilma Man Killer told them that they could use their name for the drum group. So I was listening to this tape of the Man Killers drumming, and I painted, and that painting flowed out better and easier and more beautifully than any painting. I remember that day, and I was feeling good. Some days it's hard to paint, you know, it's a push, it's a struggle, but that day was meant to be. That painting was meant to be. And that's one of the best, happiest, you know, most free-flowing paintings. So, you know, things in this world, things are meant to be some certain things. Things that aren't meant to be, you know, there's those too. But a woman, you know, with all her beauty, you know, they're born beautiful. They would live and grow beautifully if it wasn't for the violence and the domination and directing of lives. Women, for instance, women were meant to be able to control their fertility. In the day, back in the Indian ways, women knew what herbs to take. If she had too many children, she had just right amount of children, she would take this herb and the pregnancy would end, because she knew she could love and care for this many children that she already had. That is not anything to judge or to hate somebody for. That is a creator-given, sacred, respectful decision. And so I've always been, you know, for women's rights.
Right to choose.
You know, on everything. You know, help us direct our, help us with our lives. Don't dominate and make these decisions that hurt us, you know. And even this New Deal. Well, it's not a new deal, but Oklahoma imprisons more women than any state in the nation. I'm going to start painting about that.
Right.
That's what I think that I, that's something that I want to, you know, I've always had my voice through my art, I guess. You know, without even knowing that that's what it was, because, you know, it's hard to, you know, I can speak that way. I can show what I feel, you know, that women need our help. You know, women are beautiful and strong and you need to hear their stories, and art, you know, can tell a story in that way, you know. So yeah, I would paint women with all their beautiful sensuality. Women are beautiful and loving and lovers and all that, you know. It's just when you mix up the violence and the negativity and the, you know, all that other that just messes things up, you know. So my art is the testament to what is the basis, the real deal, you know, from the beginning, what we would be when we get it together, you know, when we're doing our thing.
When there's a fair society yeah. that recognizes
women. Women are strong, and women create women communities.
Value.
Yeah. And women love men, you know, women love boys, women love children, women take care, you know. That's all in my paintings, you know.
Now, your primary medium is acrylic, is that right?
Or gouache, really, yeah. Okay. I'm used watercolor. My dad used tempera, and, you know, I found that gouache just reminds me, it's a way to be close to daddy, you know, because I like to paint, I like to, you know, think about using, well, that's what I did, you know, started out using what was the closest as to what he used.
And have you worked more on board for that reason, or?
Mm-hmm. We always canvas? Just worked on mat board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how would you describe your choice of colors, your palette? How would you describe that?
Gosh, daddy was the colorist, the best colorist I ever saw. You know, I look at his work and I'm so amazed, you know, it gives you kind of like a feeling of weakness to see what he created and invented, you know. He had never even seen colors done that way.
Right.
But, you know, they're the same colors that Michelangelo had on the Sistine Chapel after they cleaned the dirtiness off of it, you know. Those are beautiful colors.
Yes.
Yes, I love those pastel colors. I just really, you know, love color. And then I also love bold, you know,
yes,
vivid.
Yes, use a lot of bold
vivid
color
on
too.
Black. You know, I'll get a black mat board and just let stuff come out, flying out at you, you know. So, you know, And that uncle was more boldish colors, you know, so mm-hmm. I've had that influence from him too.
How important is story to your painting? Are a certain percentage of your paintings more about mood, or is do you always kind of have a fully developed storyline somewhere in there?
No, well, I just let it develop. I always have it in my mind to, I just sit down. One time I visualized through a dream, you know, a painting that I wanted to do, and it's become like the best, most sought after piece of art that I've done, Warrior Women. And so I dreamed that, you know, mm-hmm. I saw the four women coming out on horses. You know, you always see the men riding up,
right.
You know, as the warriors, but I saw the women coming out, you know, in struggle, in survival, in the celebration, you know, all those things. So it's just a, what is it, what would you say, like a way of life or, you know, what I paint. And I guess, you know, there's so many stories. And when I hear a story, I am just inspired and I just want to go paint it, you know. But, you know, and I've painted, like, the women getting ready to shake the shells, you know. That's the story, you know. Everything
right.
is part of a story. And so, and then also the mood, you know. I want you to look at a painting and say, this woman could do anything, you know. This there's a woman like that. I'm that woman, you know. And so... That's been what I've done.
And, you know, actually, artists supposedly often unconsciously kind of draw themselves facially. And I didn't know
everybody
ever
comes
told
up and
that.
Say about every 500 times a show. And I was like, well, you know, because I'm not painting my face, per se, you know.
Right.
I mean, I'm just painting,
it's
you know.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not painting me. Sometimes I do. I painted me and my children.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some really... special ones, you know, one that's called My Boy, I'm holding my boy, and one's called Holding On, I'm holding Christy.
Have you been able to keep any of your paintings over the years?
I have one that's called Bad Mood, but Coming Out of It.
One that didn't sell immediately.
Well, we're hidden in the bathroom, so nobody.
Oh, that's,
actually, it's. I think I gave
good,
it to Lisa, so she'd kill
trick.
Me if I sold it.
Yeah.
Bad mood, but coming out of it. Yeah, I was just cracking. I was in such a horrible mood that day, and I started painting, and I started laughing because of the way I was looking on this picture.
Well, that was my next question about titles. You know, how. Because they seem very carefully chosen. So you spend a little bit of time thinking about them. Or do they. Just come to you.
They
quickly?
Just come, really. They do. I mean, I just think, you know, every now and then you struggle.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm painting and, you know, I don't know what the heck's going on. Oh, but one time I did one that just looked insane, and I named it after the election.
After which election?
This last one.
This last one.
Yes. And
at the state election, or. The
all across
national.
The nation.
Okay.
The senators, Congress. Yeah. So and somebody bought that. I was thinking who would ever. I was wondering who, if anybody, would take this painting.
Yeah.
The people that got it were so thrilled.
Oh, that's funny.
Democrats.
Yes. So what's your creative process from, you know, just kind of in general?
I have. To do some praying, but back a long time ago when I started, you know, I guess it was like a prayer, you know, it was a prayer that time when I went into that room and thought about my life and how I couldn't live it the same way. That was a prayer, and so now, you know, it's the same way, you know. It might not mean, you know, getting down on your knees or anything, but it is speaking to the Creator, you know, and my ancestors, and asking for help, because, you know, I need help with everything I do, really. So, you know, it's that process, very important, and you do get help when you ask for it, you really do. I know that, you know, it's happened over and over and over again. So that's my process. And then I go in there in my overly disastrous looking area. I'm such a hog. I mean,
You like to spread out.
I don't like to, but it just, I mean, people will come in and clean that up for me. What is the matter with me? I am a tornado. In fact, I used to dream about tornadoes all the time before we were having them here every day in real life. I would dream about tornadoes when I was growing up all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. I've even painted a couple of paintings of tornadoes. Because in the Creek Way, an Indian Creek woman can go out in her yard and with her hair blowing and take an axe and put it right into the ashes in a certain way and split the tornado, turn it another way. Mm-hmm. Boy, those tornado dreams are just so powerful.
Wow. So for right now, in terms of your creative routine, you're not committed to trying to paint every day, or do you still?
No, I have too much to do to try to just survive and, with my health and all.
Mm-hmm.
I eat differently, and I exercise, and I have to tend to my kids, even though Chrissy's 17 and Lisa's 15, I still have to, I'm so involved in everything they do, and they're such beautiful artists, and everything to me is about doing everything as a family, I told the kids, I'm coming to live with y'all. Where am I going to sleep? But, I'm already telling you, y'all are taking care of me when I'm old,
Fix my dad.
Yeah, everything. I'm taking care of them this long. Heck, what the heck?
Yeah.
But the other day, I'll get people that'll need a piece of artwork. Oh, I'm so blessed because, people will think of me when they want to remember somebody or honor somebody. I was able to paint. I painted one called We Will Always Remember in February of someone that I knew a long time ago that would come around. She and her two relatives, older women, and they were feminists, and they were just little, looked like mild-mannered women. They would go to the NOW conferences and rally and protest in Washington, D.C., and they'd come to my art shows and buy my work and made me feel, wow, these women are cool, and and then they'd support me. Well, she passed away in February, and her young granddaughter asked me to do a painting. And so I did one called We Will Always Remember. And now that painting, the family has desired to, we make 1,000 prints and raise money for Legacy with that print.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So they're going to be, $50 a piece. And when we raise all the money, we'll be able to turn the gallery into a youth art center, creative performance area. And I'm going to call it Creative Spirit House, which in Creek is Puya Viccha in Hiya to Juggle.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be, forever deal, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then the other day I was asked by a White Bison founder, Don Coyas, to paint for his sister who'd been battling cancer, and she's having a birthday on June 1st, and I did it. And it's called We Ride with Woman of Courage. So she's going to get that painting on June 1st. She doesn't know about it yet.
Oh, that's
And it's on my Facebook. And it's an abstract type, because I always said, if my Parkinson's got worse, I would just start painting abstractly.
Mm-hmm.
And before it even started happening, that my body wouldn't be still, I was going that direction by choice, because I love the way abstract art looks,
And it can convey a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
So, we're just wrapping up here. Looking back on your career, I think you've kind of described that fork in the road moment, which was when you went into that room and said that prayer and had that realization. What's maybe another high point that we haven't covered that was just really such a good?
My high point has been when I realized that I was on the right path with my legacy work. And it's, Wilma Mankiller was always just, she would always just step into our lives in the past. I met her at OSU, actually.
That long ago?
Yeah, I met her in like early 80s at OSU, and I was asked to paint her portrait as a gift for her for coming to speak at OSU. And she had that painting in her house until her brother wanted to have it after he donated her a kidney. She says, "I'll give you anything I have. You know, what do you want?" He said, "I want that painting." And he and I are just really good. I just love Don so much. And so Wilma would be in our lives, you know, like when Lisa tested HIV positive, there was Wilma. When I was diagnosed with Parkinson's, there was Wilma helping me go overseas to get, you know, stem cell treatment. And just being able, really, Julie, just being able to honor the ancestors in the way that that's the highest point, you know, if I can do that, you know, and that's good because every day is a new day to do it, you know, so my high point comes, you know, when I'm doing the right thing, you know, being recognized by my tribe as, you know, my people as having done something that helped, you know.
And you've got a great camp out to look forward to. Lord have
mercy, that wears me out. I'm about the puddle of mud at the end of the, but I'm looking so forward to it. Each year is better and better.
I know, it will be wonderful. Was there anything we forgot to talk about or anything you'd like to add to the discussion?
Be sure to, I hope that I can tell people that, you know, I'm honored to be able to have painted and created and laid out my vision for, you know, because, you know, the world needs a lot of attendance and help, you know, so if we can just learn to listen and try to see the true nature of things and help out, you know, that's what we need to do. So in all honesty, you know, we're trying, our little tiger family's trying to do that, you know, through our art. And, you know, to try to remember the powerless, help them to have help, you know. So come to Tiger Gallery and buy art and help. Help us help.
All right. Well, we're going to have you talk about a couple of your paintings here real quick. Okay, Dana, we're looking at one of your paintings. What's the title on this one?
I forget.
That's all right. Do you want to just kind of talk about your inspiration for it, or your?
Well, I just see these two gals as kind of athletic, you know, or just athletic, or they even look like they could be have just gotten through painting a house or something, you know. It's just women being women, you know. Just, you know, growing up, I was the kind of kid person who, you know, did things out of the ordinary, or, you know, from being that arm wrestler or whatever, to all kinds of, you know, things that maybe a woman wouldn't think a woman would do, but women, you know, can do and do just about anything. And so these women are just hanging out, you know, just after something tiring, you know, they look kind of hot and sweaty, but
right.
They're just hanging out, you know, friends, and just there after accomplishing something or working on something. So that's just a moment in time.
And it's a great example of how you pick, you always have these really strong poses. They're poses that really suggest strength.
Oh, no, I always just kind of, I guess, you know, set like, my kids say, "Mom, you have to sit like that." You know, I just natural, you know, just trying to don't even think about certain things like that.
Okay, and we're looking at another painting here.
Oh, this one's called Purpose. This was one of the, back when I was first starting out, this was, it was four years into it, but this was the first limited edition print that I released, in addition of 300, but Purpose, this woman just has this, you know, look on her face, like, you know, she's just maybe thinking about pondering what she's done, what she needs to do, but she's got that air of ability, you know, just natural, you know, not forced or anything. She just,
it's a great expression of purpose. And for someone who hadn't been there doing a lot of faces.
Oh, well, yeah, I had to get good at faces. I was talking like the first year. Yeah, then I wanted to speak through the look on the person's face. You know, I wanted people to look and be able to see, that's a face that, you know, that's thinking something, you know, that inside, underneath that face is some good thought and ability, you know, and spirit, you know.
Right. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Dana, with all you have to do. I really appreciate it.
It's fun, Julie. I'm glad to do it. Thank you.